You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Today is April 18th. The Yankees just finished up a series in Toronto against the Blue Jays, their first series loss of the year. The Yankees drop the first two out of three and then are able to salvage the last game, game three, with a ninth inning comeback. And the first series loss of the year, Tyler, but luckily they were able to salvage that last game, was quite the ugly series. Especially
by both
coming
teams,
off that,
Rob.
By both teams, and especially coming off that Sunday game against Cleveland. Just sort of bad play for the Yankees on the defensive side of the ball, which we will get into, but really not great offense outside of what we saw at the tail end of yesterday. But now we have, after the sort of amazing start for the Yankees, they're now 13-6, still in first place, a half game ahead of Baltimore at this moment. But we have some stuff to talk about, some real sort of issues that we've seen this early on. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get too crazy, but they are issues, because we've seen with this team now for the past 4 years of how long we've been doing this pod, that stuff can escalate pretty fast if they don't nip it in the butt and address it. So, especially the defensive stuff, you're looking very surprised.
Like, and the bullpen, like, Rob. I'm still like, eesh.
A guy like Rizzo making errors and some bullpen hiccups. And so we got some stuff to talk about. But what did you make of the Toronto series? Last time we spoke was before Cleveland.
Yep.
What did you make of like the last six games that this team has played?
I mean, obviously, this was a tough series to watch, period. I mean, there's a good chance we were going to get on this pod today, Rob. Losers of four straight to the Toronto Blue Jays, which would not have been a good time. Another series of Judge not performing well. But like I texted you at the end of yesterday, right after Judge obviously gives us the RBI hit, or the go-ahead hit, all is good in Yankee land for about 12 to 18 hours. I mean, if we get another skid coming up here, I think we'll really be in the midst of starting to hear some complaining. But also, I think it shows you, dude, how tight the AL East is going to be, because, like, Baltimore's nasty, one. And two, Yanks drop a series, and all of a sudden, you don't look so much bigger than everyone else. So, I don't know. I came down to earth just a hair this early in this week, Rob, but I'm just happy they didn't get swept for the most part. But again, I'm happy that the team is 13-6 right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. What was that clip that we saw earlier? The Dodgers announcer going, the AL East isn't what it once was. I think it was the guy.
What does that even mean?
It's completely.
It's probably going to be. It's probably going to be better than they have been in recent years.
You would think. And Boston did this last year. They got off to somewhat of a hot start and then tailed off, I think.
Boston's always going to win like close to 75-8. Like they'll fuck with you a little bit.
But I mean, whenever they play the Yankees, that's going to be a competitive series no matter what. But like, you're looking at you got Boston, Tampa, Toronto, Baltimore, the Yankees, like 10-9 between Toronto, Tampa, and Boston, and then Baltimore's 12-6, and then the Yankees are 13-6. So it's every year it's a competitive division.
And you got four teams that do think they can all win the division at a minimum.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. It's the same thing, I guess, to a lesser extent, because there were past years as a Giants fan in the NFC East where it was a bit of a, you could call it a shit show with in terms of their record, but it's always competitive is what I always feel like. That's kind of the correlation I see, is that it's never going to be, very rarely is it going to be running away. This team is completely.
Like, or like 2-3 teams we can just beat up on all year. Like, it's no, you know, 100 loss Oriole teams in this division right now. And, you know, yeah. The Sox are, you know, they play us tough. Toronto's not, you know, years ago when they were really bad. There's no beat up gimme wins here. Like, you look into the, what's a really bad division? The Central, I mean.
Yeah, you're not
going
to
imagine playing in there.
Yeah, you're not going to get times where past years of the Central or even the West before the West sort of stepped up when Arizona mm-hmm. got better and
when it was just Houston essentially,
in the NL West when it's like when it's not LA, yet. LA's just winning 100 games and then the rest of the teams are just dog water. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like the NL East or the AL East is always going to be competitive, or even you know the Central in the AL. You're looking at, you usually get one team and then, you know, whether it be the Twins or the Guardians at one point, and then the rest of the mm-hmm. teams are just terrible. You're not getting that with the AL East historically now for really a decade, you could say. Like
Sox are 3-15, Rob.
Yeah, not tough. Good. Like, you're not getting that in the AL East this year, I don't think.
No,
so,
not at all. They don't know what's going on the West Coast over there. Leave their opinions over there.
Yeah, leave them on the West.
Three
Coast,
hours so. Earlier.
So yeah, the Yankees are 13-6. We'll talk about the games real quick from the Toronto series, and then we could talk about these topics. Game one was a Luis Gil was not
seven walks.
Looked really all over the place.
He had no clue where that fastball was going.
No,
not
idea.
A damn clue.
Yeah, this was quite the ugly one. Gil didn't really put them in a position to succeed. He didn't know where he was throwing it. He just really didn't. The line is not great. 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 7 walks, 6 Ks. Oswaldo got them ahead in the top of the second with a single to left to score in Glaber. And then the you know walked in the bases on the bottom of the second, and then a little merry-go-round action. But
nice seeing IKF.
Yeah, IKF was playing in this series pretty well. And I mean, this one was just a real boring game. Bassett pitched very well in this one, 6 1/3. 1 earned run, 2 walks, 5 Ks. So Bassett was really sort of dicing the Yankees a bit up here.
He's got our number, I feel like. I feel like him and Kikuchi just kind of do their thing against us, and we kind of hope we can get Gausman.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just an ugly game. Nothing really more to take from it than, like, your starting pitcher just has to throw strikes. And
it's honestly wild he went 5 innings pitched, walking 7.
Your boy Ron Marinaccio made an appearance in this one, keeping him around with obviously the doubleheader from the past weekend. 2 innings pitched, no earned runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 K. So does Ronnie get himself back in this? Get especially with this bullpen of where it is.
I mean, he can. You can do anything. I feel like if you shove a little bit in the bullpen, I think their big thing is now like Ron has to K some guys. Their bullpen doesn't strike anyone out right now, I feel like, especially with Laza gone. But I mean, it would be cool to go back in there. I feel like when they put him in, he was pitching 2 innings, no matter if he gave up 6 earned runs or he struck everyone out. It was just kind of like a get me home type of deal. But it was good to see Ron. I hope he sticks around.
Yeah, I mean, now with Laza down and the bullpen, it's not like we're on life support or anything. It's just like,
no.
You know, you got your little cringe. You got, you know, you're squinting the eye going, ugh.
I just look at it and I'm like, is this the pen that I'm going to see in September? And probably, you know, probably not. What are the odds we see? I don't know.
Well, the positive is we have the second coming of Mariano Rivera as our closer, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So Yankees dropped the first game 3-1. Game two also not what you want, not what you're looking for, as the great Joe Girardi once said. Carlos Rodon in this one goes 4 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 5 Ks. So not the best outing for Rodon, but one that I'm certainly not going to freak out over, as you know, being as critical as I was about Rodon. I'm kind of going to give him a little bit of a leash for his past starts. And how he started the season has been quite strong. So you're looking for a little bit more, you know, as we ramp up here. You know, can Rodon start giving you consistent quality starts? Like, that is something that I think is in the realm of possibilities, and I don't think is a crazy bar to set too. Would you agree with that?
No, not at all. I mean, we said a couple weeks ago too, we're like, hey, I think I said at least, I was like, hey, I'm viewing Rodon as an ace. And I mean, I took this start as simply a bad start. Four innings. What do you have? Five walks, I think. It almost felt anything. I think he loaded the bases, what, twice in the first three innings, something like that. It might have escaped one of them. But to me, it almost felt like a worse start than Luis Gil's. Again, because you're like, you can't. I mean, when Kikuchi's dicing you up and you're supposed to give us some length, and you completely take us out of it after four, you only go four, you walk four, you give up three. That's not a 5-year contract type of start, Rob. Mm-hmm. But I'm not freaking out yet.
Yeah. Luke Weaver gets in this game, gives up a couple runs. Nick Birdie, Victor Gonzalez. The way the scoring went was top of the second. Trevino making a bit of a comeback here with the catching position. I mean, he had the home run against Cleveland during the weekend.
I mean, he listened to our pod.
So apparently, thank God, I mean, when we say something, then, you know, turn it into action. But then bottom of the third, Justin Turner, a little sack fly action to tie the game. And then Vladdy, in the bottom of the fourth, singles in two runs. Clement scoring on an error. This was a ugly game for Gleyber. Really not attractive at all. And it's really this kind of past six games hasn't been, I mean, offensively and defensively have been really rough to watch him. But we'll get into that after we talk about the rest of the you know, talk about these games specifically. And the Yankees tried to come back a little bit in this one, but fell short in the top of the ninth. They got it to 5-4, but would not come to pass with a comeback in this one. But the next game, they would go ahead and come back. Marcus Stroman making his return to Toronto, really good in this one. I would say good. Maybe, I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. The line looks very solid. 5 1/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks. So, I mean, keeps him in the ball game. Keeps him there. Almost a quality start. Got into some trouble. 99 pitch count. I mean, that's what you're looking for from signing him. And
100%.
And like that's what you are sort of expecting.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like not, it's a Stroman start.
Yeah, he's not going to blow you away with strikeout stuff, but he's going to keep you in the game like this. Like, this is what I want him to do each time. So that's why I kind of, in my mind, that's why I say, okay, great start. That's what you need. That's what you got to keep in the game. But the offense is still like teetering. You're not getting it from Judge, and you're not getting it from Gleyber, and you're not getting it from Rizzo on, as much as you want. So like, it was this game to a point up until the eighth or maybe you could say the fifth when Soto doubled, but Soto is the one that really injects life into this game. And the top of the fifth, doubles in to score Cabrera, homers to hit his 500th RBI. I think he's the seventh fastest player to that mark, which, I mean, just shows you how great of a player he is. And he's showing it on the Yankees. And then Stanton in the top of the ninth, homers to make it a one run game. And then Trevino pinch hits for Austin Wells in this, hitting better than Austin Wells. We said that we'd like Austin Wells to get more time, but I mean,
we also said prove us wrong. Yeah, we also said prove us wrong, Trevy. I mean, a catcher hitting is a catcher hitting. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't care who it is.
Yeah. And then the Yankees end up getting the bases loaded, and Aaron Judge, really, really rough series, but goes ahead. When it captain clutch, the captain comes through, puts them up 6-4, and Clay Holmes comes in for the save. So Yankees really saved themselves from an ugly start to the week, and they salvage a series and are able to come away with the win. Take away from the series? Take away what like stood out to you?
Bad base running.
Bad base running.
A lot of bad offense outside of Juan and Waldo, honestly. I mean, you really didn't have much until Stanton's homer outside of those two and Trevi's, obviously. But yeah, infield defense still a problem. It's really tough for any team to sweep a four-game series. Just winning four straight is tough. So thank God they didn't allow it. But, yeah, I think biggest thing.
Three-game.
I'm sorry.
Because they lost – or you're good. They lost the one to Cleveland was the – was the last loss.
Tying it together.
That was an ugly one, too.
But either way, don't want to, especially after what we did to Toronto to start, don't want to instantly fold that over, give it back. But, yeah, takeaways, infield defense, not good. I'm still not worried about Judge as long as he's not hurt. I mean, Rizzo is a conversation now. Gleyber, I still think he's going to hit. I mean, that's my guesstimate. I mean, but you never know. You kind of don't know what a dude is going to do in a contract year, especially when he's pressing so hard. And it seems like him pressing at the plate is kind of rolling into the defense as well. But honestly, I'd like to just put this series behind us, Rob, because none of it looked great except, you know, a solid outing from Stroh for the most part. And Stanton hit another homer, and Juan Soto is really good.
No, yeah, fair enough. The defense is like, okay, it's weird.
You'd still think Rizzo has to figure it out. I mean, he should be – like, that's one I'm kind of like, hey, I don't know. How long has he been in the league for? 12 years, 13 years? I mean, you would think he can – like the scoops and the weird hops that he's missing, those are things that are tough. You know, he's had a couple, I know you put in here too, like a couple errors changed on him that got changed to a hit. Like, I can live with him getting a little older and not handling, you know, the hot slapper to first totally well. But
they weren't hot slappers, though. Like, the one that he made yesterday was egregious. It was a little thunder.
No, that one was bad. And they were trying to play it off on the broadcast, too. They were like, yeah, that spin really ran up on him there. And I was like, no. I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of something he should be grabbing. But is it – I mean, the Rizzo is the weirdest to watch, I think. Mm-hmm. Though, if I had to bet on one getting better, it would be his. Like, I'm not viewing Gleyber – you know, in his issues at second and being like, okay, that's probably going to turn around. It's like, that's, I don't know. We've been talking about Gleyber's defense for years. 5 years now.
Yeah. I think the Yankees defense at this point is an issue. Third in the MLB in errors. That's where they rank. You know, if MLB didn't gift Rizzo with those two non-errors, then you're probably looking at the number one spot. Boone talked about it with the Talking Yanks guys, and he was saying that it's something that he thinks that Rizzo's going to get back on track, and he thinks that these guys are major league capable players, and they're going to be able to get back on track. And the evidence
is it crazy to think that, though?
No, it's not crazy for Rizzo. It's not crazy to think that for Rizzo. I don't think it's crazy to think. Like, you're going to think.
But okay, we've had that mindset before.
One season ago. In those same appearances, and when Boone is asked about it, he said, oh, these guys are major league level guys. They'll go back to what they know. Well, you said that last year, and they mm-hmm. didn't do it.
A lot of it is him blaming baseball on being weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird sport.
Listen, it is weird, and I will give him the – like, with a guy like Rizzo and his track record, you're going to think that he's going to turn it around. And I completely understand where he's coming from.
But if it's June, say, there's an issue.
I'm going to say, learn from your mistakes, and I would hope, and I would hope that him in house, like, they're addressing it, that they're not just.
That's
saying,
what I didn't
you'll
like.
Get it.
Because you saw they asked if he's spoken to Rizzo about it, and he's like, no, not really something I do. He knows it, and I'm like, all right, well, that's something where I'm like,
yeah, because that,
you know,
that's
hopefully
where I'm
you
a
said
little,
something.
That's where I'm a little nervous about because. You,
it's like, are you still not going to say something after 12 more errors? I mean,
if you weren't doing it last year when it came to the offensive side of the ball and these little mistakes and what we got turned out into the 2023 Yankees, mm-hmm. we don't want that to repeat itself. So that's the one thing of when he's talking in these media appearances, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, okay, maybe we should take it seriously and just nip it in the butt. Like, what is the harm in... and being transparent about it, being like, hey, you know, I'm talking with the guys, we're working on it, and like, I don't like the idea of just being like, they'll get it. Like,
yeah. No, I hear you. It's fair, but we, you know, it's also sometimes I do feel like we read a tad too much into these ridiculous pressers game in and game out, because you know after a while you really can predict what Boone's gonna say. Are you worried about so and so? The answer is no if he's in a Yankee uniform, because you know, same with Willie Calhoun last year. Are you worried about Willie Calhoun's 0-for-22 stretch? Nah, Willie can bang. So it's like he's gonna defend their player regardless.
I get that, but it's like,
but it better not be a problem in the summer. I think that's the easiest way to put it.
There's no harm in just, you know, well, he's never going to throw his guys under the bus, but I don't think that's an instance of throwing Rizzo under the bus to be
no, like, not at all.
Talked about it is my only thing. So we'll see how it develops. I mean,
it can't be a problem in the summer. If it's going to be like, I can see Boone kind of being like, hey, 2 week thing into the season, or, you know, damn near 3 week thing into the season, I'm not going to get on it yet. But, like, you know, if this is a problem, again, in the summer, you have an issue on your hands. Mm-hmm. And then DJ's coming back, so maybe he's your first base.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk Judge. So Aaron Judge's line for 2024 does not look good. Total on the year has 13 hits, 3 home runs, 11 RBIs, batting .183 with a .330 on base and a .710 OPS. So he's getting on base. He's still walking, but we want Aaron Judge to bang. That's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So he's off to a slow start, but I'm in the same camp as you where I'm not hitting the panic button on him yet, because I still think that this is a guy that's in the prime of his career. Six series. And I do hold hope that he's going to get back on track, because he's hitting his stride. Out of the guys that are in a funk right now, that is the one that I think will, that I would, you know, put lump sums of money to say, okay, this guy is going to get back on track.
So, Judge will get out of the funk.
I'm on the same page with you there, but I mean, like, if I do understand that the longer that it goes on, the more noise that it's going to get loud. I just don't put too much merit in the fact that
it's just silly to get bothered, you know, to have any doubt that early. I mean, yeah,
I think you can. There's levels to it with different players. I completely think there's levels to it with different guys. Like, I still think Glaber is going to get somewhat back on track. I don't know how good he's going to get back on track. I'd hope that if he is, then the Yankees are going to be good.
Like Glaber is a real kind of worry, I feel like.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. There's more levels to it. Whereas
Judge
like
is silly.
Judge, I think, is a little sillier than what we've seen from Glaber. So,
because Glaber's got that goose egg for a homer every time he walks up to the plate and sees it.
Yeah,
so he's got that to stare at. Judge still has 8 extra base hits in 19 games.
The thing that I think with Glaber that is, like, you always say it with the puppy dog face.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's tough. Dude, he gets in his feels.
He gets in his feels, and it's tough because now he's doing it on both sides of the ball. That is like, you know, you're not seeing Judge. Like, Judge has the same demeanor. He doesn't – and that's just the player that Glaber is. Like, Glaber wears his emotions on his sleeve, and that's what makes him unique, and that's what makes him him. But I think that you can just kind of have the telltale signs now. And, like, for where Glaber is, I mean, the drop throw from Trevi the other day against Toronto was bad.
Was he the one that bobbled it to home? Throwing it to home against Cleveland?
And then, and then also the Cleveland the missed throw on the double play. Like, you can just tell that he's really having trouble. And his offensive numbers on the year, .208 average, .318 on base.
Yeah, his looks bad.
.554 OPS. And I do, like, just based on his career. .64
OPS plus.
Just based on baseball and his career, he's going to turn it around to some extent. I just don't, like, I feel for the guy, though. He is in a contract year. Like, he needs to get it around. But
I think when you're looking at these two dudes too, Glaber and Judge, like, look at Judge's struggling and his floor is like a .710 OPS when you're really going through it.
playing your worst baseball. Gleyber's floor when he's playing his worst baseball, I mean, 550 OPS.
Yeah, that's
totally different players.
But like, I put more emphasis on that because it's like, okay, Gleyber's now doing it defensively. Like as elite athletes, I feel like they're like, okay, if I'm not doing it on the offensive side of the ball, at least let me hone in on my defense and make sure like got my ducks all in a row. Like he's just, I don't know, he's just getting in his head too much. And like I hope that he turns it around because we need him to play second base. Like you said, like if this is the way Rizzo looks, you're gonna put DJ at first. Like why, like at this rate, like why wouldn't you think about giving DJ days at second base at his natural position?
You don't really have infielders at this point anymore either. Honestly, I mean Peraza's, you know, might never step on, step foot in the Bronx again, for all we know. I mean, you got Gleyber struggling, Rizzo struggling, DJ hurt, Birdie hurt. You don't really have
that. Was the other one that we haven't talked about. Birdie lands on the IL,
and then you're really only sure piece for, honestly, the whole field. We're gonna have a whole new infield too, dude. Yeah, your only piece for the infield is your shortstop. I mean, which is awesome, but yeah, we don't have the luxury of being able to like, oh yeah, Gleyber, if you don't turn around, we'll just, you know, pivot to this dude. I mean, we might have to pivot other places with people, right? So I mean, Gleyber's got to turn around for obviously himself and the team.
Yeah, I think like he's gonna run into one maybe this weekend, and then I think
what did
maybe
he hit
that'll
last
get
year?
Going.
Didn't he hit like 25 last year or something?
Yeah, he was around the 25 mark.
He's just got to see one go, dude. Two ribbies is tough to look at.
25 home runs, 68 RBIs with the 800 OPS. So like,
yeah, his worst year of his career, he still was a 700 OPS hitter. I mean, he's going to – it's silly to think he's going to be a 500 OPS guy.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to do that. There's no way. But I, coming into this season, I thought he was going to have a good year.
So that, like, I still do, honestly. I still think he can. I mean
– I think – well, here's the thing.
April 18th.
Do you think – yeah, it's true. Do you think he's going to be – like, do you think he's going to have better numbers than he – at this rate, do you think, like, he is going to have –
like a career year.
A better year, maybe not a career year, like maybe not 2019, 2018 Gleyber, but like, do you think that he's going to be above last year? Does your gut tell you that?
No, because just because outside of the juice balls years, just pause. Outside of the juiced balls in 2018, 2019, where he had the best years of his career. So outside of those numbers, last year was the best year of his career in terms of like, average, below average offensive production throughout the league. So I would not take him to top last year. But I'm looking at, like, I feel like 2022 is where you essentially should expect him to be. 257 guy, you know, hovering above league average in terms of batting average. 310 on base, which is not great. 450 slug, I like that. 761 OPS, 113 OPS plus,
no,
right? So he's like
10%
above league average is where I feel like he should end up.
I
but
agree.
if he ended up like 2021, I mean, that's not a good time, Rob. Not a good time at all.
Costing himself a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's what happens with like Joey Gallo. Look at all the money he costs himself, dude. Like at least 100 mil.
Yeah.
Gleyber, I want you to get paid, bro. I don't know if I might not have to be here. A lot of people don't want you paid here now, but I want you to get paid, dude.
Yeah. All right, and then the other thing I wanted to talk about. Juan Soto this series.
Juan.
I mean, or just this season. Like, imagine.
He's nuts.
Imagine if the Yankees didn't have Juan Soto this year.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't be 13-6. They
probably
an
8-win team.
I mean, you're thinking about what he's done on what he's done on the defensive side of the ball and just what he did yesterday in the Toronto series. Like, if Juan Soto wasn't on this team and they didn't make the deal for him, this offense, and you're thinking Judge will get better and other guys will step up, but like, I mean, this just already this early on in the season, he's showing like how essential he's going to be for the team throughout the rest of the year.
Just he's already accumulated 1.2 WAR in 19 games.
And it's insane.
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
Also told he was a bad defender, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know who was saying that because that by what our eyes are telling us so far in the season, that is not that is not true.
He's passing the sniff test, I will say.
He's passing the sniff test in a big way. So, yeah, Soto has just been unreal. And I got to give my props to Oswaldo Cabrera so far.
He's really like your second best hitter.
Yeah. Like, no one really expected this. Like, Cabrera was looked at as...
Dude, he had a really bad start to spring, too. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, Cabrera in his time with the Yankees was looked at as a utility piece. But now, to start the season, and we talked about how the impact of just being around Soto, and we see the clips of them interacting, like, that's having a real big impact on him this early on.
Bro, everyone wants to be Juan.
Everyone wants to be Juan.
I want to be Juan.
It's paying off. I mean, be like Mike, be like Juan. Seems like so. I mean, 3 home runs for Oswaldo, 13 RBIs, 309 average, 350 on base, and 895 OPS. Like, this is easily the most pleasant surprise for the Yankees this season by
and
far.
I don't expect, like, all right, I'm not trying to be a loser or anything, but I don't expect those numbers to remain where they are. But
would be awesome if they did.
Yeah, 100%. But if Waldo is a league average hitter, I'm also taking that as a massive plus. I mean, he has been well below average in his time. So if he can just be, you know, utility type dude, I mean, we know the Yankees, like, literally gag over that. So, utility type dude that can also slap the ball and hang out with Juan and make Juan happy, keep him around.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, he's playing 350 on base from him too is just kind of ridiculous.
Banana land. All right, let's do our savages of the series as well as our MVPs of sucking. Sorry. One guy that we didn't talk about yet this series but had a solid series I wanted to point out, Alex Verdugo goes 4 for 11, 3 doubles, also got a big hit in the rally yesterday, scoring one of the winning runs. I did notice, like, I do really like Verdugo. I am sort of noticing, though, what maybe some of the Red Sox fans were a little agitated with. There was one play yesterday where he hit the ball and he didn't start running up and down, like, up the line.
Oh, yeah.
The time. And I'm not going to freak out about it now, but I do sort of see why he could rub some people the wrong way.
He's got, like, similar Glaber Robinson Cano nonchalant type of deal.
A little bit, but, like, I am not going to hold that against him in a big way. Like, I'm a big fan of Alex Verdugo, and I think he brings a much-needed energy to this Yankees team, and I think that what he's done so far. And we talked about last pod of that he was starting to get going, and I think he's really continuing it. So let me just pull up his numbers for the year.
I think Verdugo is gonna, you know, I think he's in similar boat as Glaber, where, like, it's your, you know, your floor is a little bit above league average.
Yeah, but what he's doing for the year right now, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, 242 average, 762 OPS, like, he's going to be around that, and that's what he's delivered so far. So I for what we've asked to be a competent left fielder, I mean, we know that they've had terrible left fielders, and we know the situation that's been there before. Like, this is far better of what we've had, and think that you're going to welcome it. So, and I think that he had a solid series with some big two-baggers. So I was going to go savage of the series with Verdugo for this one.
Heck yeah. That's well deserved, Rob. It's honestly a nice gesture for him, because that's his first of the year.
Yes,
for us, isn't it?
Yep.
There you go. All right, I can't argue with Verdugo, Rob. I mean, it would be, I think when we see him kind of hit now too, or at least get on base, like, he is as advertised. He kind of slaps the ball around a little bit. He's I almost said sideline to sideline, but, you know, pole to pole, if you will. So again, once Judge starts going, or in one of Glaber and Rizzo are not really bad, I think people are gonna start to love Verdugo a lot, because he's gonna be a big piece if he's slapping the ball around a little bit. But I like it. It's hard to not go with one of these dudes. I mean, obviously one of them had to be either Waldo or Juan. I'm gonna go back to Juan, Rob, just because I feel like his whole not his whole demeanor changes, but the entire aura of the team changes when Juan is like in his mode and kind of vibing at the dish and, you know, giving his good old facial expressions and dancing a little bit. So in this series, 4 hits, Rob, 1 run, 1 homer, 2 ribbies, couple walks, or 3 walks, and I kind of want to say not single-handedly won us the game yesterday, but, you know, played a big role in avoiding a sweep here.
You could say that.
So, I mean, yeah, outside of literally the winning run, Juan Soto won us a game, so I'm going to give it to Juan.
Mr. Juan Soto. All right, MVPs of sucking.
They stink!
I'm going with Rizzo. Not only with the defense, but 1 for 13 with 4 Ks. Just not great. I will say that, like, he's definitely on our a bit worried radar.
Watch list?
Yeah,
watch list. Neighborhood watch list.
I saw that people were throwing out the CTE stuff with Rizzo as a joke, but, like, Do you put?
I mean, it's not like the craziest.
So you put merit in, like, do you think like the concussion stuff could be a little bit? Like, it's been
I don't know.
It's been a long time, so like I have a hard time thinking that he didn't take care of himself in the off season.
That's the thing. He had a full spring too. Because, like, I'd get it if, like, say he was rehabbing.
He was mashing a little bit. He was hitting some out.
Say he was rehabbing from his concussion, like, you know. When did he leave last year? Like close to June or something? July? And then he missed the whole year, the rest of the year?
No, I think, no, it was until like until August, and then they shut him down. It was like,
yeah, but when was the last time he played? Was it like June? Because he went on the IL and then he got shut down after being on the IL forever. I don't remember. But it'd be different if he, like, you know, missed the whole, all of last year, was continuously rehabbing throughout, you know, the offseason and spring. But he had a full spring. I don't want to put merit into it yet, Rob, but you never know. I hope it's not a head thing, because that's sad and scary if so. But just play some defense, and I won't really think about that.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm going to go Rodon just because I'm picking on him, Rob. I could have went heel too, but again, like I said earlier, I do think – going that extra inning for heel kind of nudges him in the right direction. Also, I have bigger expectations for Rodon in a matchup against Kikuchi. I want you to be that ace there, you to be the better pitcher in that game. 4 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned, 4 walks. Not going to do it. And you got into a lot of trouble. It very easily could have been a, you know, 3 1/3, 6 earned type of deal. So I'm going to give it to Rodon because I expect more for you, man. I mean, I feel like I gave you praise a week ago, and now I'm harping on you for walking 4 in 4.
Valid. Pretty valid. Yep. All right, before we hop off, it would be remiss if we did not mention the biggest news probably from Yankees land is great John Sterling is hanging him up. He's now going to he's called his final game. And he's no longer going to be the voice of the Yankees. He will always be remembered as the voice of the Yankees, but I know for me, it's going to be really weird not hearing, you know.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
I mean, Tyler, we grew up with it. A lot of listeners grew up with it. Like, it's weird.
I was listening to Shackle on the radio yesterday before the, like, between the sixth and, like, the eighth inning. And I was like, this is a little weird. And you could, Susan, I think she was adjusting a little bit. But it's weird for sure, dude. And crazy that it's just 19 games in or 17, whatever it was a couple days ago.
Yeah. And he was talking about it. Like, he just genuinely said, I'm tired. I mean, the guy is 85 and he's been going through it like a champ. And it's, he just said, like, the travel. I mean, it's tough for, I mean, let alone a guy that's 85, you know, people just traveling as much as that is, like, it's demanding. So
it's a long day.
Kind of understand. And they kind of phased it in with, like, Shackle and the other announcers sort of you know, pinch hitting with for him on the road a little bit. So you can kind of get a sense. But, I mean, like, 85.
Well, you knew it was going to happen. I mean, just out of common sense, you know it's going to happen at you know, I don't think either of us were sitting here at the beginning of this year and like, oh yeah, we got, you know, another 5 years out of Sterling. I mean, you know, we knew the end of the road was near, but the fact that it was just like, I'm done, guys, I think was the most surprising thing. Because what is he, how, did he say it was six, there's no way it was 60 years he was on the radio. Is that what he said when he?
I think it is like 61 or 64.
That's nuts. So he really was, he was like 25, that's nuts.
I think his, I could be wrong, but I think his streak of games was close to 5,000, or yeah, if that was the total call. Unreal. Or if, because he broke his streak, I think, sometime over the COVID stuff of like the consecutive games. I think he took off one for maybe he wasn't feeling well or something. So it's going to
we'll
be
weird.
We'll
see him throw out a first pitch soon.
Well, this Saturday, I'm going to the game, and I think they're honoring him. So they'll probably maybe, I don't know if they're going to like bring him out to like
that would be
speak
dope
to the
if
fans
they had him
or
do
something.
A speech on the mound to start.
Yeah. So. That was sort of, I already had the tickets, so I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm gonna hear from Sterling. But yeah, that was I don't want to call it the most surprising news, but it was more surprising from the standpoint.
No, that was
of,
super surprising, dude.
Well, surprising of the only reason I think it was surprising was that the season had started and then he
announced it's April 18th.
That was weird. If he did it, like, even if he did it at the All-Star break, I'd be like, okay, like, that's
or if he came out and was like, hey, this is going to be my last season. Yeah. Like, that I would have been like, okay, cool, you know. But you'll get a little farewell tour.
Yeah, but it was just an immediate, I'm done. So,
yeah,
and
I'm not coming in
to
today.
If any guy, you know, earned the right to do it, it's him. Uh-huh. Just like, you know. For
good for him for not caring either, honestly.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm not going to entertain you idiots anymore.
But he's like, I'm going to have, I think I saw, he's like, I'm going to have far more time to hang out with people. And he's like, I hope they want to, because he's like, I had to cancel a lot of dinners and stuff, you know, so.
Going to make up for the last 60 years.
Yeah, it's going to be weird not hearing him, but it's, you know, for the better for him and his health and everything. So
yeah,
shout out to John Sterling.
I was happy to hear there was no, you know, so far at least he hasn't really had his press conference yet, but I was happy to hear he didn't, you know, wasn't very sick or anything that he's making public.
Yeah. But it takes a toll on you, and I'm sure it, you know, his health at this point will probably just benefit from it. So
yeah, heck yeah.
Shout out to him. But that's it for episode 167. Shout out to John Sterling. Shout out to the Yankees. Hopefully they'll get back on the winning track. We got Tampa tomorrow with the off day, and then the Saturday game and Sunday game, and then we're looking at who is the opponent after Tampa. Pulling it up real quick, and then Oakland. And Milwaukee.
Hey.
So hopefully you take advantage of Oakland for a four-game set.
Yep.
That would be wonderful. But that's it for episode 167. Really appreciate everyone for listening. As always, subscribe, leave us a rate and review, and follow us on social media. We'll catch you at 168. Peace.